Good evening, everyone. It's a great pleasure being, a great pleasure and honor being here in, you know, North Cascades Center. And generally speaking, it's been so far very special, you know, experience for me here in the States. And I'm very happy and delighted to be here and talk about the beats in Morocco as they relate to my PhD dissertation. So before starting any, before going deep any kind of discussions, this will be just a kind of a talk, not an academic kind of, you know, a paper. So we'll be talking about different things, you know, from history, from my experience with other writers, artists I met in Morocco and in the state when I went to Naropa University. Before going into all this, maybe the most straightforward question is, how did I get into the beats? So I think because I was raised, I grew up in this working class family, I started to think about a possible way, Berber, being a Berber, like the native people of Morocco, I started to think about a possible way to change the conditions of my people. We've been undermined by, oppressed in a way or another, you know, not really maybe, corporally in so many ways, but culturally speaking, by the French and by the Arabs, you know, the French during the occupation and by the Arabs after in post-independence era. So I was always thinking about a possible way to change the conditions, social, socioeconomic conditions of the people, my people. Within these general conditions, politically speaking. So I was very revolutionary in so many ways because my father was also a hippie during the 60s. So he was born, he's a Berber, but they moved to Casablanca because there was nothing to do, no work in the small Berber villages. It's like this in the mountains, nothing to do unless you want to take care of your cattle and farm. So my grandfather was a jailer. He worked in jail during the French occupation. So he took my family, my father, my grandmother to Casablanca, and he grew there during the 60s. So he was born in 1957, just I think the year Morocco got its independence. So he grew up in that historical turmoil kind of, and he had all these features of a hippie. So he had long hair, you know, to his shoulders, a French kind of a mustache, and he wore, you know, jackets with leather fringes here, Indian like native fringes, and so on, and longer, what do you call that? The longer
bell bottoms.
So he was kind of a hippie, and he used to frequent local cafes and restaurants where revolutionary Moroccan musicians played their music, which was against, in so many ways, Hassan II, who was our king in the 60s. So, taking into consideration all these, this atmosphere and all these conditions within through which my father grew, I was always endued with this, or imbued, infused with this revolutionary spirit. Because it could have been a good life for my family, maybe if my grandfather lived longer. But since he died early in 1962, my father had to take care of my family, my aunt and my uncle. So all these colonial, post-colonial prerogatives produced certain repercussions and made me think about the situation, how to change the things. So I was thinking, what would be the possible way to do it? And when I finished university, I was very revolutionary in so many ways, like joined the Berber student movement, the Marxist student movement, and I combined these two, and I was searching for an outlet out of all this and a possible way to change the conditions. So while reading the introduction to English literature, I came across this counterculture movement. And I started to read, you know, about music, jazz, blues, 60s, generally speaking, civil rights movements, and then the Beats. That's how I ended up doing all this research, and then I thought this would be a possible way to bring together an official and a non-official point of view into this. So when I was admitted to do this master's degree, I had two topics in my head. The first one is a comparative study of Ibn Arabi, who's a theosophist, a Muslim from Morocco who lived in Andalusia, and he wrote about the unity of God, the universe, and man. The first to talk about this, of course, Spinoza talked about this, but Ibn Arabi was among the first Arab philosophers who also talked about this. So I wanted to compare this. I wanted to write a dissertation, a PhD dissertation on Ibn Arabi and George Hans Gadamer, who is a hermeneutic, someone who is interested in hermeneutics, the study of religious and literary text. And I compared their own work together. But this was not my PhD dissertation. This was my MA dissertation. And the second topic was on the Beats. And it was the one which I'm working on for my PhD dissertation at the moment. So what I'm basically trying to look at is my dissertation will be kind of a comparative study, trying to look at the encounter, the cultural encounter between the Beats and Moroccan writers. And I also look at it as one possible way to bring together the East and the West, because we have certain discrepancies, of course. When some people are taking hold of everything, official points of view, perspectives, they tend to think in terms of binary positions, the East, the West, you know, what is good and what is bad, you know, what is sexual acceptable and what is not sexual acceptable, gender, sexuality issues. So I'm trying to bring all these things and compare the Moroccan late 50s writers, poets, artists to the Beats, who also happened to visit Morocco late in 50s, you know, 1957, 1958. That was when the Beats traveled all the way from New York to Morocco. So my PhD is provisionally entitled The Encounter Between Moroccan Writers, Artists, of course, of the 60s and the Beat Generation Writers, Social Unconventionality, Hubo Reclusions, and Countercultural Agency in the Writings of Muhammad Shukri, Muhammad Amrabat, Jack Kerouac, William Burroughs, Allen Ginsberg, and other people. Of course, these are just examples. So there is a tendency in Moroccan, in post-colonial literature, to focus more on Paul Bowles, because he was the first American writer who took Tangier as a home, and he spent most of his life there. I think more than he moved when he was in his 40s maybe, and he died late in his 70s, and he was all the way brought from Tangier to New York, where he was buried. So when we talk about American literature, post-colonial point of view, we always tend to focus basically on Paul Bowles, and there's almost no theoretical discussion of the importance of the Beats and the influence they may have or not have on the Moroccan writers, artists, and poets. So that's why I'm undertaking this work, or why I'm doing this work. Paul Bowles, of course, helped so much in bringing the Beats to Morocco, because he was the one who invited them. And he said, look, this might be a very special place for you to visit. It's an international zone, and it's full of all the things that you are craving, the things that you look for. Drugs, hashish, is available in every corner in our own narrow lanes. Free sex, homosexuality, all these things were part of, and are still part of our own culture. So the Beats thought this is going to be a good opportunity to be also introduced to the Eastern culture, because they were very much in Buddhism, Eastern culture, spirituality, and so on. So they thought this also would help them so much to get deep into the Eastern culture. So they took, a Yugoslavian ferry or ship, it was a ferry, big ship, from New York to Spain, and from Spain they crossed to Tangier. And that's where they spent at least Jack Kerouac, Allen Ginsberg, Peter Orlovsky, Gregory Corso, William S. Burroughs. They spent, Burroughs stayed for longer, but the other ones I mentioned, they spent 2 months in Morocco, traveling from Tangier through the village where I work, and they stopped by in that village, which is called Taghazout, which is a Berber name, which means the Taghazout, a place which overlooks the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean. So you have the water coming, into the rocks, and then it goes back again to the sea, and it overlooks the sea. So that's why they call it Taghazout. So they stopped by in Taghazout, and according to a chronicle of one of my professors of l'interculturel, in the university, he was my professor, he said that the Beats in the 60s, they stopped by in that village, and they had the great opportunity of mingling with the local people, because this is this was already before they came there, a hippie village. So people used to come from all over Europe, from France, Italy, Belgium, England, rent apartments together, smoke hashish together, go surfing together, and then getting back a bonfire, and then looking at the Atlantic Ocean. So the Beats, they stopped there, and they perpetuated this spirit. And they renewed in so many ways many spiritual aspects of their own literary movement. But of course, this existed before the Beats were there. That's what I'm trying to argue for in my own dissertation. The same thing for what they have been looking for. Hashish and drugs, narcotics, everything was allowed, was something normal in Morocco. Homosexuality as well was something normal in Morocco. So these things that the Beats were most known for were not something new to us as Moroccan people. They already existed in our own culture. So I'm trying to look at things from a different point of view and argue against the Eurocentric way of thinking, that everything new, everything novel, everything maybe beautiful, everything literary, everything culturally progressive and liberal comes from the West. I argue and I say that it is originally maybe all of it from the East, and then it traveled all the way to the West. And this is a very striking example, the example of Tangier as being an international zone. So Kerouac, Ginsberg, as I remember from one of the word of mouth, histories, chronicle from Mohammed Mrabd, one of the writers I'm also basing on. He was a servant of Paul Bowles. He worked in his own apartment when the Beats visited Morocco. So he said that, "I don't like Ginsberg because he behaved like a woman, and I like Burroughs because he was a crazy guy, and I was a crazy guy. Used to smoke keef, which is a marijuana in big
spliffs.
So he said, "I didn't like Ginsberg. He was he behaved or looked like a woman, but I like Burroughs because he was a crazy man." So in Morocco, maybe it was easier for Ginsberg to find boys, but it was not easy for Ginsberg to convince the boys to get in a relationship, because there was still an official, not prohibition, maybe an official police which goes in the streets in the narrow lanes trying to see that everything is going on and so on. In the cafes, they may just go in and ask people for their own identity cards. What are you going to do there? What are you doing here? Or so on. So Paul Bowles was very one of the people who invited and introduced the Beats to the Moroccan culture, but he was not really well celebrated there because he could not really respect that contract which existed between him and Mohammed Mrabd. he translated some of his stories, which were about the aspects of Moroccan daily culture, like mhashish, which is a stoned, someone who is stoned or high. So he translated a collection of short stories by Muhammad Mraoui, but he did not give any credit, you know, to Muhammad Mraoui, and he published them in the States, something he did not like. So he kept repeating this for 70 years now.